Thursday, November 16th marks World Day for Tolerance. UNESCO, the UN's educational, scientific, and cultural agency, celebrated the day by awarding a special prize for the promotion of tolerance and nonviolence to a leading moderate Tamil in Sri Lanka, Veera Singham Anada Sangari. But how well are the voices of tolerance and nonviolence standing up against extremism in Sri Lanka, where violence between government forces and the LTTE Tamil Tiger militants has seen a dramatic upsurge in recent weeks, despite an official ceasefire? My colleague Susie Hodges spoke to Mr. Anada Sangari to find out more.
I was really delighted, no, because this is a thing I never expected. I was doing my duty on my own without any expectation. I was really surprised.
This prize has been awarded for tolerance and non-violence. Why do you think these are such important qualities in today's world, and particularly vis-a-vis the ethnic conflict in your homeland?
Actually, it is intolerance that has led to so much trouble. If people had been tolerant, things would have been entirely different. So certainly in a situation like this, tolerance and non-violence is very, very important.
Do you think our world is becoming increasingly intolerant in some ways, that we're becoming more polarized and less ready to accept the views of others who perhaps don't share our ethnicity or our religion?
Yeah, the intolerance is increasing day by day, especially if you compare today with about a period 3 years back. It had increased severalfold. There was absolute peace also before the CFA was signed. After the ceasefire agreement was signed, you see the LTTE had taken the upper hand and violence started increasing. And today, it has now become violence, then retaliation, then again retaliation. We don't know who started it first, you see. But unfortunately, retaliatory steps are too frequent that violence is increasing at a very high rate.
And do you think perhaps the different religions in your homeland could perhaps be doing more to not only have interreligious dialogue, but to preach the virtue of tolerance?
All our religions are preaching nonviolence. And all the religious leaders also have got together and they have formed a front also to promote nonviolence and peace. All our religions are united and they are all fighting for peace.
The violence in Sri Lanka has really escalated in recent weeks. And although in theory there is still the ceasefire, it's almost like there were a civil war in all but name. Do you agree?
Yes, certainly. After the ceasefire, the violence escalated little by little. And now it has gone to the point of civilians getting killed in large numbers.
And how hopeful are you that this fighting can be contained, that it won't further escalate into an all-out war?
Unfortunately, the media in our country, the Tamil media, 90% of the media, whether electronic or print, you see, is supportive of the LTTE because they are backed by the LTTE for some reason or other. Maybe out of fear, or maybe they are financed, or maybe any other reason not known to me. So the media is always finding fault with the forces, you see, and glorifying the LTTE. I can give you just one instant. The radio and TV are giving the news from the Tamil media that UN representative Alan Rock, who had condemned or found fault with the government for helping the breakaway Karuna group, you see, to recruit child soldiers. What I told him, it's not brought like this, but I think he would have certainly mentioned that also. I told him, everyone talks about the conscription and other violent acts, you see, in the government-held area. But no one talks about the things that are happening within the LTTE held area, which is like some iron curtain area, where there is darkroom chambers, detention camps, torture camps, abductions. There have been so many abductions by the LTTE. This is not brought out. But I am sure he would have, in his report, he would have mentioned this also. But the Tamil media didn't bother to say anything about that. Only repeatedly condemning the government forces. Government forces for supporting or helping Karna to conscript children. Is the most unfortunate thing today in our country.
Do you sometimes feel that your life is in danger because you are a moderate and you do not hesitate to criticise the Tamil Tigers? I mean, have they threatened you?
Oh, yes. I am facing grave risk, you see. I am aware of that. But I always take up the position that as a citizen of Sri Lanka, I have a duty by our people, no, to liberate, to have them liberated. I personally feel that the people who are living in Kilinochi and other areas that are under the control of the LDD are living like slaves. They have no independence. They have no fundamental rights. They have no democratic rights. The whole, the entire international community is not fully aware of this.
Do you think that both the LTTE and the Sri Lankan government think that only a military solution to the ethnic conflict is possible?
Winning a war is not possible. The only way is for the government to come out with a solution that should be reasonable enough for the international community to recommend it as good or reasonable for the Tamil people to accept. After that, the LTTE can be dealt with in many ways.
But how hopeful are you that this will happen and that there will be a meaningful peace deal that can, you know, substitute the one that basically has now riddled with holes?
It will have to happen very soon. Because now the most encouraging thing that is happening in Sri Lanka is two major political parties that have been ruling the country by turns, you see, during the last 50 years of this ethnic issue. For the first time, both of them are trying to find a solution within the United Sri Lanka on a federal constitution. The presidential candidate of the UNP went to polls, you see, with the offer of a federal solution, and he polled 49.7%. That means 49.7% of the Sinhalese people are agreeable for a solution based on the federal structure. On the other hand, the President's party, the Sri Lanka Freedom Party, another major political party, that too had passed unanimously a resolution to find a solution based on the federal constitution. So I think that we are very, very close to a solution. I am very optimistic. I think that will happen. And the two committees that have been appointed by these two political parties meet often, and they have agreed to work on a common program. And their priority is the ethnic issue. So it all depends on how the LTTE takes it, or how the LTTE is pressurized to accept a reasonable solution within a united Sri Lanka based on the federal constitution. In my view, I am very, very, very hopeful. If the LTTE will accept, they declare that they are prepared to accept a federal solution, the solution is in hand.
So, in the meantime, you are going to be continuing to preach the virtues of tolerance and a non-violent solution to the problems of your homeland.
Yeah. I continue to fulfill my mission. That is why I say I'm hopeful that without a war, my talks, you see, the government can find a solution. Now the LTTE will have to adjust itself. Whoever can bring pressure on the LTTE to accept a solution based on the federal structure, without shedding one drop of blood from today, we can find a solution to the problem.
And that was Vera Singham Anata Sangari, who has just won the UNESCO Prize for the Promotion of Tolerance and Nonviolence. He was speaking there to my colleague Susie Hodges.